Here's a scenario that plays out more often than most pilots admit. You're on a cross-country, 40-something minutes from your departure, and your tablet dies. Dead battery, bad cable, it doesn't matter. The ForeFlight you've been following just goes dark. You look down at the sectional you printed, but never actually studied. You look out at the ground, and somewhere in the back of your head, a quiet, uncomfortable question surfaces. You're not sure exactly where your last checkpoint was. That feeling, that small drop in the stomach, is what happens when dead reckoning becomes a checkride ritual instead of a real habit, and it happens to pilots at every certificate level. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern. You're on Radio Hanger. Today, we're going back to the foundation, the navigation log, dead reckoning, and why doing the math yourself still matters more than any moving map you'll ever mount in the cockpit. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that actually matter. Check them out at aviationsoul.com. All right, let's start with the term itself, because I think the history helps the concept stick. Dead reckoning is believed to come from deduced reckoning. Sailors on open ocean had no landmarks and no satellites. They figured out where they were by starting from a known position and deducing where they must have moved, based on speed, heading, and time. The math was the navigation. Pilots inherited the technique and used it for most of aviation's history. You knew your departure point, your course, your airspeed, the forecast winds. You did the math, you built your plan, and you flew it. Then you cross-referenced what you found on the ground against what the chart said should be there. The global positioning system, or GPS, made that process feel unnecessary. And that's the problem.
The GPS is not navigation. The GPS is position display. It tells you where you are in the present tense. Dead reckoning is predictive. It tells you where you will be. That predictive skill is what lets you catch a fuel problem before it becomes an emergency, catch a wind shift before you're 30 miles off course, and get back on track when the technology fails. So let's build the skill from the ground up. When you sit down to plan across country, you start by drawing your route on a sectional and identifying checkpoints along the way. The direction from one checkpoint to the next, measured relative to true north, is your true course. You read that right off the chart with a plotter. But you can't fly true course directly because your magnetic compass doesn't point to true north. It points to magnetic north. The difference is called magnetic variation, and it shifts depending on where you are in the world. The sectional shows you isogonic lines, faint dashed lines labeled with degree values that tell you the variation in your area. Memorize this. East is least, west is best. When converting from true to magnetic, you subtract easterly variation and add westerly variation. It sounds like it might be backwards. It isn't. Once you've done it a dozen times, it locks in permanently. After variation, you account for compass deviation. That's the error in your specific compass caused by the airplane's metal and electrical equipment. The compass correction card mounted near your compass has the corrections for your airplane organized by heading. Small numbers, but worth applying. Now you have your magnetic course, but you still can't fly it directly because the wind is going to push you sideways the entire time. This is where the winds aloft forecast matters. The Aviation Weather Center publishes winds aloft for a range of altitudes. You pull this data as part of your pre-flight weather briefing through 1-800-WEATHER-BRIEF or an authorized weather service. The forecast winds are given as direction and speed for a series of altitudes.
If the wind has a crosswind component to your course, it will drift you off track if you just point the nose at the destination. The correction you apply is the wind correction angle. You calculate it using an E6B or a flight planning tool, and you add or subtract it from your magnetic course to get your magnetic heading. That's the actual number you'll fly. The winds aloft also determine your ground speed. A headwind slows your progress over the ground, a tailwind helps it. The exact effect depends on the angle of the wind relative to your course. Ground speed is the key number, because time equals distance divided by ground speed. And time is what determines fuel burn. Under the Federal Aviation Regulations, specifically FAR 9151, Day Visual Flight Rules, or VFR, flights require enough fuel to reach your destination plus 30 minutes of reserve. Night VFR bumps that to 45 minutes. But the regulations define the floor, not the standard. Most experienced pilots set their personal minimum at 60 minutes of reserve or more. 60 minutes of fuel at cruise power is real margin. 30 minutes is not. Fuel exhaustion shows up in the accident record. Look at those cases carefully and you find something consistent. Pilots who skipped the fuel math and trusted the gauges. Fuel gauges in small aircraft are not precision instruments. They're approximate at best and unreliable when the tanks are low. The navigation log protects you because it gives you a time-based fuel estimate. You know what your fuel state should be at each checkpoint. If reality doesn't match the plan, you find out while you still have options. Now let's talk about how pilotage works with dead reckoning, because they're meant to be used together. Pilotage is visual navigation. You're matching what you see outside the window to what's on the chart. Lakes with distinctive shapes, rivers, transmission lines, the layout of a town, railroad junctions, the silhouette of a ridgeline. You're looking for features that confirm your position. The word confirm is important. You're not looking out hoping to recognize something. You're estimating where you should be based on elapsed time and ground speed, and then you're looking for a landmark that matches. Dead reckoning gives you an expected position. Pilotage either confirms it or corrects it.
Good checkpoint selection matters. Choose features that are distinctive, visible from altitude, and hard to confuse with anything nearby. A large reservoir with an irregular shape is excellent. A water tower on the edge of a recognizable small town works well. A four-lane highway in flat terrain, where every intersection looks the same, is less reliable. When in doubt, pick more checkpoints, not fewer. They're free. On the nav log, you'll write an estimated time between each checkpoint. Depart, note the time, set your heading, and start the clock. At each checkpoint, you log the actual time. You compare actual to planned. If you plan checkpoint 2 for 16 minutes after departure, and you hit it at 20 minutes, you're 4 minutes behind. Something is off. Maybe the headwind is stronger than forecast. Maybe you've drifted slightly off course. Either way, you update your calculation going forward. Your arrival time shifts. Your fuel state at destination shifts. Your reserve margin shifts. This is live navigation. The nav log is not a form you fill out on the ground and put in your flight bag. It's an active reference you work from throughout the flight. Let me say something about alternates while we're here, because a lot of students pick an alternate airport, write it on the form, and never think about it again. Your alternate is a real plan. Before you depart, you should know where your alternate is relative to each leg of your route. If you hit unexpected weather between checkpoint 3 and checkpoint 4, which direction do you turn? How far is the nearest airport with fuel? Is it clear? The alternate you chose on the ground should still make sense at that point in the flight. A solid habit is to maintain a loose mental awareness of divert options as you go. You don't need to actively plan for every contingency on every leg. But knowing the nearest suitable airport is about 12 miles off my left wing right now is the kind of situational awareness that buys you time when things go sideways. Now, what do you do when you think you might actually be lost? The first thing to do is not panic. Panic burns time and doesn't fix navigation. The first step is to climb if you can. Higher altitude gives you more range on radio and more visibility for both landmarks and terrain. Then communicate. Let someone know what's going on, then confess. Admit to yourself, and to air traffic control if you're talking to them, that you're uncertain of your position. Uncertain is not lost, it's a data deficit, and data deficits are solvable. ATC can almost always help. If you're squawking a transponder code, they likely already have a radar return on you. If you tell center or approach that you're uncertain of your position, they can point you toward an airport, give you a vector, or confirm your location outright. The four words "I'm not sure where I am" are hard to say on the radio. Say them anyway. A position uncertainty handled early is a 5-minute problem. An ego that won't admit to one is how it becomes something worse. Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. The Airman Certification Standards, or ACS, for the private pilot check ride require you to demonstrate navigation by dead reckoning and pilotage. The examiner is watching to see whether you're actually flying the plan or just monitoring a screen. But the certificate is just the benchmark. The habit is what keeps you safe. Years from now, when the tablet goes dark and the fuel gauge is sitting somewhere below a quarter tank, if you're currently in training, fly at least some of your cross-countries with the GPS in the background. Build the nav log habit, work your checkpoints, track the time. The GPS will still be there to confirm your good work when you arrive. If you're already certificated, take a cross-country trip with the moving map, minimized, and do the navigation on paper. You might be pleased to find the skills are still sharp, or you might find a gap worth closing before it matters. Either way, you'll be a better pilot for it. Dead reckoning isn't a retro skill. It's the floor under everything else you do in a cross-country airplane. The Airman Certification Standards and FAR 91 are the primary sources behind today's segment, both available at faa.gov. We've got a cross-country planning resources page at radiohangar.com if you want to dig deeper. The nav log isn't paperwork. It's your plan. See you next time.